The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
B-Pod Studios.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man, Bill. Nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, 4:03 in the evening here. Felger and Maz, you've been waiting patiently. We'll get to you now. Connor in Boston, what do you got for us on the Pats?
Hey, guys. I don't know why you were getting so soft about this Patriots fourth quarter thing. Most real fans want the Pats to destroy every team we face, go 19-0, and I want Brady to win MVP. That's only going to happen if we pummel these teams a full 60 minutes. And you know what? The spreads are only going to get higher, and you better believe I'm taking Pats every single time, along with everyone else that has a brain.
Okay, babe. Yeah, I don't mind them blowing teams out. It's just if your 42-year-old quarterback has a bad calf, or even a hangover, if you believe Murray and Stu. Like, why does he need to play that? Your team can still play the 60 minutes. You can still pummel these teams. Why can't you just pummel with the other quarterback?
Behind an offensive line that feels like it's kind of in shambles, or you don't have a real left tackle who he's going to be out for at least 8 weeks. It just doesn't seem the responsible thing to do when you're up by 30 points that late in the game.
So, look, that guy can root for whatever he wants to, and if there are fans like that, all the power to him. I contest the notion that real Patriots fans want that. I think real Patriots fans look at that and say, you're up 37-0. Is it really worth having Brady in the game? Like, is it really worth having Brady thrown out of the shotgun?
Look, I've said many times, I really despise this topic. Because I feel like I don't care if you run up the score. It just doesn't bother me. And I've always said, we'll empty both barrels if someone important gets hurt in garbage time of one of these games as you're trying to prove some, you know, nonsense point. Then we kill you. You know, Rob Gronkowski blocking on an extra point and breaking his arm. Like, you deserve a lot of criticism for that. So we'll definitely do it on the backside. It just comes up this week because Brady's on the injury report. It's like, you know, could you have helped that along? Or is the injury just totally phony? Murray and Stu maintain it was just a mental health day because he went out on Tuesday night. And maybe the whole thing is...
Might be that simple.
...is Fugazi. Here's Jesse in Maine. Go ahead, Jesse.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're good. What do you got?
You know, Antonio Brown finds himself in the sex abuse scandal, right? Nowadays, that's a big thing. This is like polar opposite spectrums here. On one hand, we're sending priests to jail for sex abuse scandals that they did 20 years ago. Good place for them. Law enforcement finds them, roots them out. They find that evidence. They find those witnesses.
Jesse, you got to get to the point, please.
On the other hand, Antonio Brown, you know, maybe it's just all fake news. Why isn't he arrested?
Ah, it could be fake news. It's true. It could be fake news.
Yeah, listen, but again, we've allowed for that possibility from the beginning.
We'll find out in time.
I mean, that was one of my first questions. Why isn't there a criminal complaint?
It could be fake news. In the meantime, he's playing. So you shouldn't have a problem. They haven't sat him down yet. Martin on the Cape. Go ahead, Martin.
I'm hoping Mayfield can connect to Beckham and Landry enough to bring the Browns at least into the conversation.
Agreed.
At some point.
That's a good one, too.
That's another one. That Browns team is an important team for the league.
No question.
It is. Go ahead, Martin.
But, I think the league's problem this year is magnified by the fact that we as fans endure enough long, drawn-out, meaningless regular seasons with the other three pro sports. This is the sport with all the anticipation in the preseason, and almost every win and loss has some meaning. But if the product wanes, fan complacency can fast become routine and carry over, I think.
Absolutely, Martin.
And that's a good point.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to jump on him or on you. All the other leagues, the games are useless. They're useless. And so you anticipate football because every Sunday you sit down, there's a meaningful game to be played. Every single one. This season already feels like half of them are wiped out.
And I think this is how we led the show. I think this week is just a teetering point. It's a breaking point. It's a tipping point. It's a tipping point for the league. where there were some teams who could have, should have contended, who are on the verge of going 0-3 and being completely, utterly, 100% useless because those players and those organizations will give up and because it's time to start playing for the lottery, if you will. And that's why I think it's important. You know, the team that I mentioned was the Giants and Daniel Jones. And, you know, what a swing that could be. If they could get a win this week in Tampa, the Giants, they then come home. They have two winnable games against Washington and less winnable against Minnesota. But if that team can win some games here with this young kid and build up some interest behind a rookie quarterback that they drafted high, did they trade up to get this guy? Or were they just sitting there at 7?
I
can't remember.
No, I think they might have moved up to get him.
So, but, you know, be that as may, whatever. You know, but if the kid is not ready, if he can't play, that's another useless team. That's another lost decade for another New York football team. And it's like, but if the kid can play and they get a couple of wins here, and I'm not telling you that they're Super Bowl caliber or even playoff caliber. I'm just trying to save my season. I'm just trying to have a reason and having a competitive league and having some things to follow. If Daniel Jones wins this week and then comes home and they beat a bad Washington team, well, there's two straight with the rookie quarterback, and all of a sudden the New York hype machine starts, and if they can get past Minnesota, now they're 3-2 with that young rookie quarterback, first overall pick, franchise savior, and then they come here on Thursday night. And it's like, okay, now we got a game, we got a week, we got something fun. Like, that's an actual, there's some actual something, there's some meat on that bone there. Otherwise, if he can't play, they lose and they come in 1-4 or whatever, it's like, you know, another 20-point spread. Like, that's useless.
No, he's a big one. I told you, I mean, and he might be the biggest given where he plays and the history of that franchise and everything else. I'd put Rudolph on that list. You know,
so there's another one. Pittsburgh's still a talented team. People care a crap ton about that team. If they can go on the road to the Niners, I'm sorry to jump on you. If they can go to the road at the Niners, win with Mason Rudolph, who they allegedly like, and they drafted, was it last year or this year?
Yeah, last year.
They drafted last year, and they've invested some time in him, and they actually like him.
I wanted the Patriots to take him.
Okay, so what if they win a road game? And now they're just 1-2, and I'm not telling you they're winning the Super Bowl. But again, my standard is, can we have a season?
No, that'd be a huge win for them. That's the Niners' home opener. The Niners are 2-0. There'll be some buzz in that building. That would be a very big win.
I read you the schedule, and I went over it earlier. Pittsburgh has a crap ton of national window games scheduled. Sunday night, Thursday night, Monday night, 4 p.m. national window games, a crap ton. If they're 2-10 and Rudolph can't play, it's like useless to everybody. What if the kid can play and they start to build some momentum and there's a reason to watch that game? I'm just sort of willing this into being because I'm afraid that the league is on the verge of a really useless season.
Yeah, look, the Giants and Pittsburgh combined have 10 Super Bowl titles. Like, those are two good franchises.
People care about those teams.
Absolutely. Like, those are big ones. Those are big ones. Like, I'm intrigued by Rudolph. I don't think Rudolph sucks. So I'd like to see how that thing shakes out because that would be a, you know, think of what that would do, not just for the league for 1 year. You're talking about 10 years. 10 years to have a quarterback in Pittsburgh and in New York with the Giants. I mean, that would really change the league for the long term.
I mean, said before, we over the summer, one day, Murray Hook and I just did an exercise to stop saying everybody sucks. It's just because it's so easy to say everybody sucks. So we had to pick a team, a dark horse team, someone from the field who could contend in the AFC just to do it, just to have the exercise. Murray picked Jacksonville. Hook picked Denver. I picked the Jets. We're a combined 0-6.
Yeah, not good.
And Murray's lost his quarterback. I've lost two of mine on the Jets. And Denver's just 0-2 headed to Green Bay. But so, like, whether those were bad picks or not, you could build a case that maybe kind of sort of those teams might be there to give you a game or someone a game at some point, a game you'd have to watch. Denver with a great defense and that great home field. And Joe Flacco, who's an NFL quarterback. At Jacksonville, who was just in the AFC title game 2 years earlier, great defense with a new quarterback who won a Super Bowl, you could build a case for Jacksonville. Jets, Sam Darnold might be something, so you build a case for the Jets. The Jets are done. Like, they're done. Done. Because I think they have the wrong coach on top of it. And their schedule, after this week, they're 0-3 after this week, and then they got two tough. I think they play Dallas. I think it's like Philly and Dallas in the next couple of weeks. They're done. It's over. Done. 0-5. But Denver. Like, Denver's at Green Bay this week. If they lose, their season's over.
See you later.
It's over. And they're, like, playing for the lottery.
Yeah, they're going, like, you know, 6-10.
And I bet you people in Denver start saying, who's the kid they just drafted? Chase, who'd they just draft?
He's hurt, too. I think he's, like, on IR.
Okay, so maybe he's not even there to play, but whatever. You're looking at Denver going into the lottery. Jacksonville, I feel like they're done. The corner wants a trade.
Drew Lock.
Foles is hurt. Drew Lock, thank you. I was going to say Chase Daniels. Drew Lock. But what if Jacksonville wins tonight and they don't trade Ramsey and Foles is back in November and that division is wretched and they hang around? Like, see, I'm trying to will it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to will this league and this slate to be competitive. And so I'm rooting for these teams that are 0-2. I'm actually rooting for the Steelers this week. I'm rooting for Daniel Jones and the Giants. I'm rooting for these things because I want a viable competitive league. And I think they're on the verge of not having one. So that's that. That's that reset. What, Murray?
Before you go to break, maybe we can come back with it. Guess who spoke for the first time?
Oh, so I was wondering if Antonio Brown.
Yep.
Okay. Ooh. Do we have Antonio Brown sound?
I think we can get it during the commercial break.
Okay. Yeah. We will be giving you Antonio Brown meeting the media right after this.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Hey everyone, it's Felga here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're member FDIC.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Want to weigh in on the NFL conversation, feel free at 617-779-0985. On the verge of a rough year, I just want to extend it as much as I can. In the meantime, for the first time since he became a New England Patriot, Antonio Brown spoke today at Gillette Stadium. Can you tell me, was this in front of his locker or at the podium?
In front of his locker.
Okay, so I'm sure this was an epic scrum. But I'm sure our Mark Capello was right there.
It was four questions and about a minute long.
Okay, and I've been told we're going to want to stop it right off the shoot to remark on something. I don't know what it is. I haven't been...
Something stood out to me pretty quickly.
Same.
Oh, Capello was right up front. There's no question about it.
Let's go. Roll it.
Super grateful to be here. I played for Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
No Robert Kraft? Is that what...
Boy, he almost said Tom first.
Yeah, that's...
I played for Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
What's he really here for? Who's the one that really set it up?
Tom Brady.
So that's what you're reading into it.
I played for Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
I mean, he wanted to say Brady first. There's no, and he caught himself. There's no two ways about that. No.
Like, I just found that kind of telling. Who's the more important piece in terms of Antonio Brown's mind? Who's he thrilled to be playing for?
I played for Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
I also find it interesting that he says play for Tom Brady.
I played for Bill Belichick.
You know, because at the end of the day, Brady's a teammate. Should be saying with Brady. I mean, it's a small thing. We're picking at it, but that's what we do. And I'll tell you what, if you want to get into that whole idea of who brought him here, who was responsible, Brady.
Yeah.
I mean, when you listen to him, it sounds like Brady's the one that made it happen.
He should be thanking Kraft, but he's not, I guess. Not on the list, even though Robert has green-lighted it, because that's the one who could veto it, and he hasn't. And in fact, may have already paid him a $5 million bonus, which to me, again, is to pick up our conversation from yesterday would be mind-blowing, but it's possible they've already paid this guy. So that's who he should be thanking, is a guy who signs his check. A guy who could easily not sign the check and blow him out of here. But he's not thanking Robert. He's wants to give Tom... So he knows where his bread's buttered. He puts Bill first. Anyway, Antonio Brown today at his locker.
Super grateful to be here. I played for Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. You know, I got a lot of the offense to learn and catch up. But I'm excited and grateful to be here and to be a part of these guys.
Antonio, what's it been like working with Tom?
It's been a tremendous honor. He's been here a long time. A lot of details,
a lot of work ethic. A great guy to be around and just inspire everyone here.
What is your process been to kind of get used to everything as everything's going on in your life?
Well, it's football. You know, I'm grateful to play football. Every time you walk in the doors here, you know, be your best for the team. So every time I walk in here, I just want to make sure that I'm preparing to keep these guys in my back.
Antonio, what have you heard from the league, if anything, about your availability in the fall?
I appreciate that question. You know, I'm just here to just focus on ball and look forward to getting out there in the home stadium and being with the team.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you, Antonio.
Okay, so he was ready for that one. Appreciate that question. I'm just here to play ball.
Well, they only took 10 days to prep him on it. Like, you knew that? Cause seriously, how many times do you think they've told him in 10? I bet you the Patriots are holding their breath that whole time.
Do you think they actually had a shot collar on him? And Bill sent someone with a buzzer?
Honestly, you know what I was just about to say? Did they give him Valium before they sent him out
right,
there?
He sounds like a different guy.
Seriously, did you hear him? Holy mackerel. You say shock therapy, something. I mean, they gave him something. I mean, I'm joking, obviously, but that's what it feels like.
Ish.
Take two of these. What are they, Coach? Vitamins. Now go talk.
And what's this collar around my neck? Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's, you know, he probably. Zzz. Yeah, I get a little pain in my shoulder. Let's give you something for that.
I'd like
little
to thank Tom Brady. I mean, Bill Belichick. What do you think you're here?
Thank you for Bill Belichick.
he got a little shocked there.
Thank you for Bill Belichick.
No, I mean Bill.
Yeah. Bill Belichick.
This freaking team. All right, so the off-field thing's the off-field thing. Nike's dropped him. Nike doesn't want him associated with his brand. You're okay with it. So your thoughts on that if you want. But the on-the-field thing, too, and he even mentioned it there, working on getting going with the offense. But my read is that it's challenging for him, a struggle for him to pick up this offense. I think it's a struggle for a lot of guys. And especially if, and no one's answered this for me, but a big problem, I remember the Ocho Cinco years, was a big thing is that there's number-based route running and language-based route running. And, you know, you either run a 4-0-3 or blah. We all like a 9 routes a go route, but there's ways, I think maybe in the West Coast offense, it's numbered where it's just based on numbers. And here and elsewhere, it's based on words, not numbers. And when guys are asked to cross, it's really hard for them. Like maybe Deion Branch, when he went from here to the West Coast and Mike Holmgren was still the coach of the Seahawks, he couldn't figure that out. Like, so I've just heard this in the past that, so if Antonio Brown was in an offense with a different language, is that a problem? You know, again, the stuff today, Bill, Brady tried him instructing him on how to read corners. You know, like, whether it was words or numbers in Pittsburgh, don't you get the sense it was just chuck it, chuck and duck?
Yeah.
Just, I'm going to go back. I'm going to buy time. You're going to get open. I'm going to chuck it.
No, this is the route you're running on this play. And then if it's not there, you adjust.
You run like a banshee. I'll hold on to the ball, fend off a bunch of tackles, and I'm just going to hum it. And that's how they played in Pittsburgh.
No, like I always say it's like paint by number, right? Like you're running to this spot on this play.
Are you talking about here or in Pittsburgh?
No, in Pittsburgh. Paint by number.
I don't feel like it's that. No, I'm saying it's just the opposite. I think it's schoolyard ball in Pittsburgh.
So when I say paint by number, though, I mean as elementary as it gets. That's what I mean. The concept is, you know, you're running it in here. That's it. You're not adjusting the defensive back. You're not making any kind of read. You're just doing this.
Get it.
That's it. That's what the play is, and you do it. And then if it's not there, you know, we'll figure it out.
I'm going to hang on to the ball forever. You're going to get open. I'm just going to hum
exactly. And so whereas here, I think you actually have to make reads, you know, pre-snap and in the middle of a play and decide where you're going to go after you see how they're defending you. And that is a whole different world, I think.
And I'm just curious if Brown's having trouble picking it up. You know, he wouldn't be the first, that's for sure. All right, so we discuss everything on the board. Here is Jordan in Brighton. What do you got, Jordan?
Hey guys, I don't know if you've been following any of this Adam Gase, Jamal Adams drama that's been going on here, but I've been watching the interviews. If there's any reason you want, if you need any push to take over this week, it's that. But Jamal Williams seems like exactly the kind of guy with a lot of talent that just needs to be coached up. That's the kind of person that Bill Belichick would bring in and make it even better player. Not this a-hole Antonio Brown.
Okay, so Jamal Adams, a great player, maybe the Jets' best player. Really great, great sign for the Jets that their new coach comes in and week two is at war with their best player. Great. Good job. Good job. I tell you, this Gase guy, oh my God. I'm going to say overrated just because some of the football writers love the guy and sing his praises. I don't get this guy. I think the Jets have the wrong guy. I can just feel it already. I can feel it in game one. I felt it in game one in that Bills game.
Don't you get the sense that he acts like he's got, you know, three championships?
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's the part that blows me away is because the whole thing with, what's his name, Le'Veon Bell, right? The whole dispute there. The GM gets fired. Now he's fighting with star players. The whole thing is, who are you? Why do you think you get away with this?
So the Jets are done. Even if their quarterback was healthy, they have the wrong coach again. Again, they have the wrong coach, and they're going to have to start over. Either next year or the year after, they're going to have to start over. So the quarterback injury sort of gives them cover, frankly, where Gase can say, well, what do you want? I lost my first two quarterbacks, Woody. You know, I don't even have a chance. But if they're smart, they look at this and say, well, you're at war with your best player already in week two. That's great. Good job there, Adam. Here's Alex and Holden. Yes, Alex. Alex. Okay, babe, call us back. You know the number. Dave is in Wellesley. Hi, David.
The sound quality on Antonio Brown was so horrible. I can't believe it got past you, Mike. That was I can freaking hear anything. That was horrible.
Sorry.
Horrible. I want to preface my thing on Nike. Nike's free to sign whoever they want to sponsorship. Having said that, as a general principle, why are we so reactionary to controversial things like, you know, a criminal situation or a civil lawsuit? Why can we as a society not let things just play out and let facts come to light before people make decisions? I just don't understand.
David, if you owned a business, would you want Antonio Brown representing your business?
There has to be
right away. Answer that question. If you owned a business, would you want Antonio Brown representing you?
There's no reason to have him not right now, Mike.
Well, I mean, that's not really an answer. So you're saying yes, you'd want him representing you and what you stand for?
Yes. What's come to light to make me think any different?
The guy's an a-hole.
So are most athletes. They're idiots. They're stupid. People are dumb. That's why we idolize them. People are stupid in the first place.
I don't believe that, David. And, you know, Perillo said this last week, and I'll co-sign. Maz and I have covered a lot of sports, been in a lot of locker rooms, know a lot of these guys. They are not all like Antonio Brown. Most of them are hardworking guys. Hardworking guys and smarter than you would give them credit for. And who aren't a-holes and who don't disrespect people and who aren't deadbeats who get hung up in rape and domestic assault allegations. No, 99% are not. 99% are hardworking, diligent guys. And I'd be happy to have them represent me. So, sorry, you're wrong. You're wrong. They're not all like that. If you'd want Antonio Brown representing you and what you stand for and believe in, then fine. Just say it. Fine. Nike has a pretty low bar when it comes to this stuff, and they want nothing to do with them.
I mean, to me, this is a no-brainer. My answer is no. Like, there's a lot of good players. I want the ones who are, you know, good people on top of it. So, but I also think that the fact that Nike cut bait with him over this, I wonder if he wasn't that great of a spokesman.
And I'm not sure.
You follow what I'm saying anyway?
And to me, is it just this? Or is there this body of evidence building about him? He's just a bad guy.
He didn't show up for stuff.
How many people has he stiffed? And also, right, there's that too, that he couldn't even...
Yeah, how many events did they maybe ask him to show up for and he just didn't because he couldn't be bothered?
I mean, exactly.
When I say if they let him go for this, at the moment, it's a civil suit. At the moment, so to the caller's point, it's not a criminal matter. We don't know for sure if she made it up or not. So there must have been at the end of the rope with this guy anyway.
Right. What if it's just the whole picture that they don't want him representing them? What if he didn't do his job well when he was doing it? He didn't show up because he's such a flake. And now this on top of it, they're like, enough. I don't know. You'd want him? You would to represent you? I thought even the biggest Patriots Bobo would say, you know, I don't like the guy. I hold my nose, but he's a great player and that's all I care about. I thought that's where you were at. But now you're okay with him representing you as a person or a company or an entity? No, the only one I think who feels comfortable with that is Robert Kraft and the Patriots. I don't know anyone else who's saying that. Here's Murray's update.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at CambridgeSavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're a member FDIC.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, back to your phones. We had got tipping point weekend for the NFL. It's on the table. Antonio Brown, off-field, on-field. Tom Brady's second day hangover and his capri pants on the table. Whatever you want, to you. Here's Mike in Boston. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. First, Antonio Brown is trash. I don't think that surprises anybody. The one thing I would say, though, is that even as New England fans, we have to understand the organization in itself is also somewhat trash. There's no such thing as the Patriots way. It's all BS. But my second question for you is Jaylen Brown to the Chiefs. How much does that impact the Patriots? And is he going to be a destructive force in their locker room, or is he going to come to play? And are those two things tied to Antonio Brown's situation here?
Okay, so how does Jalen Ramsey destroying the Chiefs locker room have anything to do with Antonio Brown? I'm sorry.
I have no idea.
I don't get it. Is that a good fit for Jalen Ramsey?
Well, look, it's a good hole to fill for the Chiefs. Right. The Chiefs have a need at corner. If you give them a shutdown corner, in theory, their defense would improve tremendously. Now, could it blow up because Ramsey's a bit of a loose cannon? Sure. But talent-wise, they need the corner. I mean, I think they've improved their pass rush by getting rid of D Ford and bringing in Frank Clark. You know, they have the Honey Badger at safety now, replacing Eric Berry. But the one thing they really still lack is a true shutdown corner.
I think it's weird how Jacksonville's handling it. Like, they're expected to trade him. Like, it's been reported there's deals in the works, and it's happening. In fact, Schefter reported today that there was an NFL team that called. Oh, and by the way, the Jaguars are playing him tonight. So he's expected to be traded in the next couple days. But Marone said he's playing tonight, to the point where Schefter said there was an NFL team that called the league office in the last day or two and asked if it was possible for Ramsey to play on Sunday if he played tonight. So there was even a consideration for him playing tonight and being traded tomorrow. Like, what are they doing in Jacksonville? Like, what is that about?
Boy, that's a fast. So the guy in theory could play 17 regular season games?
The league said no. You can only play
one game a week.
One game per week. So the league had to tell that team no. If he plays tonight, he's traded tomorrow, he can't play for you on Sunday. Cannot. But like that was on the table somewhere. So what are they doing? Well, what is that?
You got me.
What a dumb team.
I'll tell you. It's
got to be Oakland.
I think the Jags are doing it wrong. If I were them, I'd keep Ramsey and fire the coach. That's what I would do. Forget Marone. He sucks. You're not going anywhere with him.
We've got Brent in Shrewsbury. Yes, Brent.
Hey, guys, I heard you talking about the numbered routes like Ocosinko versus our system and thinking Antonio Brown will have trouble learning it. I was once an offensive defensive lineman trying to convert to tight end play college football, and the most difficult thing was there was routes where it'd be a fly, but if there was one safety rather than two, it'd be a corner. But also, as the play started, if a safety drops, there was only one safety, it'd be a corner on a fly. So I would imagine Edelman, having played quarterback, understands all that stuff. And Ocosinko, Antonio Brown, they just want that 9-route, 6-route, you know, rudimentary.
Okay, something like that. What, Maz?
How did Gresh get the studio
number? Would you stop?
I was a tackle. I became a tight end. I had to run a fly when there were two safeties.
The point is,
if it was Tampa 2, I was running a 9.
I don't know if people fully appreciate that there is this element. And Antonio Brown, never mind the on-field thing. Again, if you've seen the video, we've shown it on the simulcast a few times, Brady really getting into it with him and going over it with him, I mean, in terms of reading routes and adjusting routes and all of that. So that's
a lot of pointing away. Take that as if you don't do it right, you're out of here.
Listen, the intricacies of the Patriots offense, I think that's a major challenge for Brown. I'm mocking the guy for
I understand. I'm trying to move beyond that.
No. The Patriots part of it is legit. I mean, how many times have we seen it? How many guys have they brought in that we thought would work and would fit that haven't, to learn that it's just not, it doesn't work that way? So they ask a lot, which is why, again, I find it astonishing that, you know, they have receivers that historically have worked in the past and then they don't keep them. That's a different argument.
I mean, it's so true. Like, Brady's playing corner.
He is. He's playing like a defensive back.
In this clip, and he's showing them, if my feet set like this and you go here, if my hips open up, you go there. And, it seems kind of rudimentary. Like, it's almost 2 weeks into this. You're telling him to read the corner? He doesn't know how to read a corner? It just seems impossible for me to believe. He's the best receiver in the league.
I'll tell you why it's not impossible for me to believe. Because he's so freaking good.
It doesn't matter, right?
No, not only that he can turn guys whatever way he wants and gets open. Like, he does it instinctively. My guess is that's the way he's been playing receiver his whole life. He knows how to turn a guy because he's so damn good that he can either beat a guy to the spot or he knows how to turn him just out of instinct. And their offense doesn't work that way, and it's an adjustment.
Here's Matt in the car on the quarterback situation in the league. Yes, Matt.
Hey, guys. I'll be quick here. So, I mean, you talk a lot about the unhinged owners and various pill addictions and God knows whatever other stupidity is going on, plus this abyss that we're staring into of bad quarterback play, third string guys, practice guys. At what point is there a move? Because, I mean, just not to bring politics into this, but Kaepernick's whole thing was like, okay, he can't play. His last couple seasons, he sucked. What is the level of suck now where it goes, okay, this guy's a warm body who's played in the NFL before? And not only that, think about it. Wouldn't it be appointment TV if they somehow, like the Jets, brought him back and he played?
Yes.
You'd get the housewives and random fans that would come into the equation all of a sudden, people that aren't even into the sport to watch.
Matt, I've said this before. I don't think he wants to play. I think he wants it out there that he wants to play and the league's blackballing him because that helps his cause. I don't think he absolutely, truly wants it. If he truly wanted to play, he'd take a minimum level deal and come in and be someone's backup, or he'd go to Canada. The guys who truly want to play will do anything that it takes to get in the league, will take minimum money and back somebody up and work their way up. Okay, there's a million examples of it. Johnny Manziel just went to Canada. Isn't Robert Griffin Jr. someone's backup for
Baltimore?
For no money? Like,
yeah, Baltimore, yeah.
Because he wants to play in the league. If Colin Kaepernick were willing to take a minimum level deal to be someone's backup or third string, he'd have to start at the bottom because he's been out of the league now for a couple of years. He doesn't want to do it. It's better for his business if he's being blackballed because then he's the victim of this whole thing and it just serves his agenda. He doesn't really want to play.
It's like three seasons removed from that whole thing too, when that Kaepernick kneeling story started. It just feels like, yeah, if he wanted to be back, he could have had it. He's had opportunities. Denver apparently had offered him a backup contract or something like that.
It would never happen with the Jets because, again, Woody Johnson is an arch right winger. Okay, so Woody wouldn't be the guy. But I'm telling you, even 3 years out of it, he'd be a better option than this Falk kid. I don't think Kaepernick wants it. I don't think he really wants it. If he really wants it, he'd be backing up somewhere for low money. He doesn't want it.
And there are offenses in this league now that he could play on.
Sure, absolutely.
I mean, he's the perfect kind of, you know, run and throw quarterback, whip it deep and run for 100. He could do what Lamar Jackson's doing.
Well, with Cam Newton out, wouldn't he be good with the Carolina Panthers?
Yes.
I would just love it, though, just to watch people's heads explode, though. The caller's right. You know how many people would actually tune in?
Oh, yeah.
It would be like appointment television just to see what the reactions of the crowd would be. It'd be nuts.
Okay, the most important young quarterback in the league. We discuss this next.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank.
Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. You still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B, member FDIC.
This hour, Felger and Mao, is brought to you by Franklin Pierce University. As a Franklin Pierce University Raven, you can fly higher and achieve your academic goals while opening doors to internships and job placement opportunities. Visit franklinpierce.edu, one university, boundless opportunities.
Miss something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Daniel's our starter. Eli will back him up, and we're moving forward. It's not all about Eli. It's about there's other factors involved, you know, our team, where we're at, and moving forward. But, you know, certainly the most of the thought for me happened after the game.
You know, when you draft a young quarterback, this can happen. And, you know, I gotta you know, live with it and make the best of it.
Excited for the opportunity. Coach called me up to his office. We had that conversation. And you know, obviously a unique circumstance. But excited for the opportunity.
So there's the Daniel Jones story in New York. Eli, Pat Shurmur, the coach, Daniel Jones himself. Most important young quarterback in the league. I'm making that case right now. They're looking at a lost decade of New York and the NFL. Lost decade. The last time that either the Jets or the Giants won a playoff game were both against you. Think of that. The last time the Jets were in the playoffs were 10 years ago. The last time they won was here in that divisional game. That's the last time they won. The last time the Giants won a playoff game was the next season when they beat you in the Super Bowl. The Giants have been to the playoffs only once since then, lost that wild card game. So neither the Jets nor the Giants have won a playoff game, and for the Jets, never mind, been there since you faced them a decade ago. Think of that.
That's amazing, really. Again, I told you this before. I expect the Jets to suck.
Yep.
The Jets historically suck. That's just who the Jets are. The Giants are different. Like, that franchise that's a good franchise. And for them to suck for this length of time, like, the odds got to be in their favor. They're going to be coming out of it soon.
So, well,
I mean, I think Jones can play.
You hope. And I say you. I mean, you may hate New York and New York teams, and you may be reveling in it. Like, I get that piece to it, that fan piece to it. But for the health of the league, and for a neutral site fan, I mean, this Daniel Jones better be able to play. You know, and never mind the New York fan. If they blew it on the Daniel Jones pick, you know, first, like idiots, in a quarterback-rich draft, they draft a running back. And I think you're seeing right now just what a running back does for you. Nothing, really, other than fantasy points. Because I don't care how good that running back is, he doesn't impact the one loss record. He's just kind of for show, window dressing. And you're seeing it now with Saquon Barkley, who's great, right? But is he impacted the one loss record, one iota?
No. The rest of the team also sucks, but, you know.
Exactly. Right. If you have a sucky team and a great quarterback, I mean, you're winning games. That's the whole point. It's all on Daniel Jones. So if he can play, maybe he saves that team from itself from making that bad Barkley decision at the draft. They have a wretched defense, but again, if your quarterback can play, maybe they pick the wrong coach. But again, if your quarterback can play, that covers up a lot of your mistakes. And maybe there's hope there in New York. If he can't play, it's going to be a while till the Jets figure it out because they have the wrong coach. They're going to have to reset after this year anyway. They're probably going to give that coach another year. Here's what's going to happen in New York. Gase is going to be able to go to Woody Johnson and say, I lost both quarterbacks. What do you want? I started out 0-5. I didn't have a quarterback. And they're going to have to give him another year. So it's going to take 2 years to figure out that Gase can't do it, in which case they'll have to start all over in 2 years. You won't see them for 3-4 years. And what happens to Sam Darnold in the meantime? Does he get ruined because of it? That's what I feel is coming for the Jets. For the Giants, who knows about Pat Shurmur either? And if this kid can't play, ooh, now you've just wasted that draft capital on a guy that can't play. But if he can, and even again, I'm just rooting for the short-term viability of this league, the short-term viability. I'm rooting for the Giants to go down there and win. Now they're 1-2, and ooh, our rookie quarterback just won a game. Then they get to come home and play a bad Washington team, win that game. Now you're 2-2, and the rookie quarterback's 2-0. Here we go. The New York hype machine starts, and you got a story. And the league has another team that you can even look at and a story you can look at. And then their next game is home Minnesota. If they can win that one, now you're coming to New England, and the rookie quarterback who they drafted one overall, the franchise savior, has won all three starts, and now he's facing Tom Brady on a Thursday night, and boom, we're in business.
And we know the New York media will eat that one up.
I've mentioned this a couple times.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because right now we're looking at that Giants game as a nothing game, throwaway game, another 17-point spread, you know, borderline exhibition game. But what if they what if they get on a little roll here with the young quarterback, and you got a story building, and now there's an actual viable week? Monday through Thursday will actually be interesting.
I mean, I think it's a better league when the NFC East is good anyway, and the Giants are a big part of that. Can you imagine a division with Giants, Philly, and Dallas all going nose-to-nose?
Absolutely. Well,
that'd be great. I feel the same way about Mason Rudolph in Pittsburgh. Like, you know, they've had Roethlisberger there a long time. He stopped giving a crap 5 years ago, for crying out loud, or at least three or four. And they drafted this kid with the idea last year that he'd move in. Here you go. Here's your chance. Let's find out. What if he can play? Steelers have won 6 Super Bowls.
And we had a caller mention earlier Cleveland. That's an important team.
It is, too. Yes, I think you could argue Mayfield is the most important young quarterback in the league.
Yeah, he might be.
But Jones is a good one, too. You got a few of them. But there are some key franchises there with history that have young quarterbacks.
I mean, with all these teams getting wiped out, and, you know, you think we'll see with Mason Rudolph, but you think Pittsburgh done, and you think Jacksonville done, and you think New Orleans done, and, you know, they need some other teams to come up and fill the void, and some other young players, quarterbacks primarily, to come fill the void. And I think this is sort of a tipping point week, or just a week where maybe they could just extend it another week or two, where maybe this team has a chance or this young quarterback has a chance. The league desperately needs it, because if Pittsburgh loses, Jacksonville loses, if Daniel Jones and the Giants fall on their face in Tampa Bay, and Denver goes 0-3, and all these teams go 0-3, and the Jets are done, you're going to look at this league on Monday and say, there's nothing left, for crying out loud. There's nothing left. And I don't want that. I want a real league. And I think they're just sort of on the verge of losing it.
Oh, look, again, to me, what the damage incurred on or suffered by the league in the last, you know, 10 days has been significant. Losing Breeze and Roethlisberger. And, like, as we get on to this, you know, conversation, you're talking about Daniel Jones and some of these young guys. You know what sucks? That Kyler Murray's in Arizona. Like, Arizona. He could be the best player in the league, and it's freaking Arizona. He'll be invisible.
If they're good, they won't be. If they're good, they won't be, Max. That's the thing about that league.
Oh, it'd been so much better if he were in Oakland.
But
it's so much better.
Oh, please. They're in the same time zone.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
No, but it's the Raiders.
It doesn't matter. Well, the Raiders would be sexier, I agree. But that's that one league where it doesn't matter if you're in Indianapolis, Green Bay, New Orleans, Arizona, or New York. You're the same.
The Cardinals will screw it up.
Well, that's different.
It's the Cardinals.
Fine.
They'll screw it up.
Fine. You're talking Cardinals, not market. The market doesn't matter. The fact that it's the Cardinals, fine. Fair enough. I agree with you on that.
Just be so much better if it were the Giants or the Raiders. You don't understand what I mean.
But this whole quarterback thing, you know, it's like, and this sort of ties into Brady today. I think we're finally figuring out his shoes. We thought he was in Crocs before. Just because the way he's...
Don't be liberal with we. I said that these were the cleats from the get-go.
Okay, so I just don't understand what he had going on there. He's got this serious rap going on his shoes that aren't cleats. So they're not cleats. Don't tell me those are cleats. But he's got his lower ankles wrapped so tightly, and on the right ankle, he's got a real wrap around the lower calf. You might even call that Achilles.
I don't think that's calf. That's not calf. Your calf's up by, is the upper part of your lower leg.
Here.
Right.
Calf.
So he's got a real tight, just one,
that's
single.
The ankle.
Single thing that, like, it's more ankle, yeah. But anyway,
that's high ankle. That's Achilles.
Those aren't definitely not Crocs. We didn't know what we were looking at before. But it is an interesting tape job there. The picture we're showing here is from yesterday, by the way. That's from yesterday on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast. Today, Brady was wearing capri pants with the same wrap job on the shoes. So who knows? Again, Murray and Stu are still going with mental health day. Yesterday, Brady was a little banged up from Tuesday night celebrations. That there's no calf injury whatsoever. Either way, it's just sort of, it times out with this week with these quarterbacks being hurt. And whether you realize it or not, could you be walking a tightrope with your quarterback? Like, can you just, he goes down. I still think you have a season with Stidham. I do. But I don't know. That's sort of instructive about him going back in the shotgun empty, five wide, up 37-0 with 4 minutes left in a blowout game. So we talked about that before. Antonio Brown spoke today. He also got dropped by Nike. Your thoughts on that? Your thoughts on the NFL and where it stands, a tipping point weekend for the NFL? All of it, I promise, to your calls after Murray's 90-second update. No.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing adaptive program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. Still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B, member FDIC.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.